2 weeks ago, we started to look at this message, and so I'll do a little bit of review because I know that 99.9% of you are exactly like me, and you remember about 3% of what I shared 2 weeks ago. As I shared a lot of what I'm going to share with you that Sunday and this Sunday, I'm taking from MacArthur in his commentary because he does a really good job explaining God's truth here. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, Paul writes, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." We said there are so many people today that say, "I need more of God. I want more of God." They come to churches, they go to seminars, they take classes, they listen to messages on podcasts and online and on TV, and I need more of God. And they do the exact opposite of what the Apostle Paul talks about. We don't need more of God. We need to give God more of ourselves. We see in the Word of God, I read some verses to you in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Paul writes, "The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Has already blessed us with every spiritual blessing. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 3 and 10, he says, "All treasures of wisdom and knowledge have been given to us, so that in him we have been made complete." And then in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, Peter writes that in Christ we have everything pertaining to life and godliness. We have everything we need to put Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 into practice. I don't need more of God. God needs more of me. Yes, I'm going to continue to grow in my relationship with him. Yes, I'm going to continue to grow in my knowledge of him. Yes, I'm going to grow in that love relationship and deepen that commitment, hopefully. But that doesn't mean I'm getting more of him. And as I grow and as I mature, I am giving more of myself to him. Now, for any of this to take place, Paul writes, "I urge you, therefore, brethren." The first step in this process is you have to be a child of God. You have to, by faith, have given your life to Jesus Christ. You have to know your eternal destiny is secure in God the Father because you have a relationship with him through Christ. Because then I have the Holy Spirit indwelling me, and I have the power of the Holy Spirit to enable and equip me so that I can put these things into process. I can put them in place in my life because I can't do it in my own strength. It's only as a child of God that we can do the three things we're going to talk about here. Number one, we talked about give God your body. Give God your body. The moment I receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life, I am a new creation. I'm changed. But I still have that old sin nature. Every single day, I'm tempted to do things that don't please God. I'm tempted to give in to those sinful desires that are still present in my body. And so this isn't a natural process. It isn't an easy process to say, "All right, God, I'm giving you my body. I'm yielding it to you to let you use my body however you want to use it." It says, present your bodies. We talked about that word present, same word in the Old Testament that talked about the priest laying the sacrifice on the altar. Give God, lay your life down for him. So here it is, God, use it any way you see fit to bring you honor and glory, to praise you and please you. And he says we are to be living sacrifices. The greatest example, obviously, is Jesus Christ, who went to the cross and paid his life, gave his life, paid the price for our sins, and then rose victoriously from the grave and ascended to the right hand of the Father and is interceding for us, and is that living sacrifice. We're to be like Christ. Give God your body. Every day, yielding our bodies to him. Now we move into verse 2 where we see number 2 is give God your mind. Give God your mind. He says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." The world wants to control your mind. The world is battling for your mind every single day, but God wants to transform your mind. It's in our minds that this new nature and this old humanness fight and battle every single day. So I have to choose in my mind whether I'm going to yield to the Holy Spirit and say, I'm going to do this thing that honors God, or whether I'm going to do the thing that comes naturally in my humanness and disobey God and sin. That battle is taking place in our minds every single day throughout the day. You know, it's a continuous battle. So we have to give God our mind. We choose who we're going to obey. The Spirit's leading or the world's leading. That word transform, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, is the same word that in Matthew chapter 17 is translated transfigure. We get our English word metamorphosis from it. It talks about a change from within. The world wants to change us by exacting pressure from without. We are bombarded by things from the world from without every single day, all over the place. You turn on your radio, you turn on your television, you look on the internet, you walk through this world. We are bombarded from the outside to be conformed to the world. But through the Holy Spirit and God's power, He transforms us from within. A change takes place from within. And so you are either becoming more like the world and being conformed, or you're being changed by the power of the Holy Spirit and you're being transformed. Either one or the other. It's not a both and. It's one or the other. Either I'm yielding to the Holy Spirit and I'm being transformed into the image of Christ in that daily battle I'm trying to win every day by doing the things He calls me to do, or I'm giving into that old nature and I'm being conformed to the world. And I'm becoming more and more like the world. You're either a conformer or a transformer. You know, based on how we're listening to the Holy Spirit's leading in our lives. Paul here tells us not to masquerade as a worldly person. For whatever reason. J.B. Phillips translates this phrase, be conformed to this world, as this. He says, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold. That's a good translation. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold. We have to be very careful not to be victims of the world. We have to stop allowing ourselves to be fashioned after this present evil age in which we live. Now, it is not uncommon for unbelievers to masquerade as believers. That's how false teachers make their way into the church. They look the part. There are churches all around the world every single day that are filled with people that can give you the right answers, that can pray prayers that sound really good. They can quote Bible verses. They can look the part. They can masquerade as a believer, but they're not a child of God. You know, they're just wearing a mask. But the sad reality of it is, there are so many believers who have been transformed, who have been changed, who are new creatures in Christ, who wear the mask of the world. They want to be like the world. They want to live like the world. They want to take all of the world's pleasures. They want to enjoy the world's entertainment and the world's fashions and the world's vocabulary. They want to do everything exactly the way the world does, even if it doesn't even come close to conforming to the Word of God. That's exactly what Paul says we are not to be doing as a child of God. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. You know, we have to be very careful because it's so easy for the world to pull us astray, to become exactly like the world, to begin to think like the world, to begin to do things exactly like everybody else is doing, and pretty soon there is no difference in our lives. God says He wants us to be transformed. The moment I receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life, there's a change on the inside. That change on the inside should be seen on the outside. As I'm continuing to grow, as I'm continuing to mature, as I am being transformed, people should see a difference in my life. Because as a child of God, I'm different. Doesn't mean I am better than anybody else, but I'm certainly better off. Because I have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. and that change that's taking place should be seen on the outside. Now, Paul says that we are transformed by renewing our minds. I want to look up a couple verses. I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 1, and I'll get there in just a moment. But a very familiar verse in Psalm 119, verse 11 says, "Your word I have treasured," King James says hidden or memorized. "Your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you." Put God's word in our head to help us avoid sin. That's what the Bible makes very clear. "Your word I have treasured, your word I have hidden, your word I have put in my heart, in my mind, so that I will not sin against you." And then in Colossians chapter 1, and verse 28, it says, "We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ." And as he continues that theme, as he works through this book, in which we're going to get to at the beginning of the new year, we're going to start to work through Colossians. In chapter 3, verse 10, he says, "And have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him." Talks about taking this wisdom from God, being renewed, being changed. And then in, a little bit later in chapter 3, verse 16, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you." God transforms our mind through his word. You know, I've been here 3 months. You have heard me say a number of times the importance of being in the Word of God every day. I guarantee you, if the only time you're getting the Word of God is when you walk through those doors, you're being conformed to the world. You're not being transformed. Because the Word of God transforms our mind. The Word of God transforms our thinking. And we are being bombarded by the world every single day. So every single day we have to combat that and fight that with the Word of God, putting it in our hearts, putting it in our minds. And as we spend time meditating on the Word of God, as we spend time memorizing the Word of God, as we spend time making it a part of our inner being, then gradually we are going to be conformed to the image of Christ. Gradually we are going to become more like Christ. Gradually we're going to think more like Christ. Gradually we're going to say things more like Christ would say. Our actions are going to be more like Christ would have them be. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. It says, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit." And we see this through Paul's writings again and again and again as he's inspired by the Holy Spirit to record God's truth. We are being transformed. We are being changed. But it's by the Word of God. It's not because of your spouse affirms you. It's not because you feel good about yourself. It's not because of anything we do or work up. It's because the Word of God is working in our hearts and minds. That we are supposed to give God our minds. Every day I'm supposed to yield my body to Him. Every day I'm supposed to yield my mind to Him. Number three, you need to give God your will. Give God your will. The rest of verse 2. It says, "So that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." Your mind controls your body. And your will controls your mind. Your mind controls your body, but your will controls your mind. There are an awful lot of people in this world, probably many of you as well, who think, you know what? I can do things by my own willpower. How does that usually work out for you? How many of you, and please don't raise your hands, how many of you have, let's say in the last year, made a determination that I'm going to change my lifestyle? I'm going to exercise more. I'm going to eat healthier. I'm going to turn off the TV and I'm going to do things outside and I'm going to do this and I'm going to, or maybe you're making spiritual goals. All right, I am going to spend an hour a day reading the Word of God. I'm going to spend an hour a day in prayer. I'm going to spend this amount of time. And you set off these goals and I am going to do it. How often does the life really transform and change and line up with those goals? Not very often. Our willpower fails. All right, I've given up on New Year's resolutions because I can't even make it to January 2nd. I've made it a goal to lose weight for how many years? I've made it a goal I'm going to exercise more. I think more goals I make, the worse I get. And that's how we work. That's how we operate. Our willpower is worthless. You know what? The Apostle Paul talked about that. Turn back towards the front of this book just a little bit to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. I want you to look at verses 15 through 21. Romans chapter 7, verses 15 through 21. The Apostle Paul writes this. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For I'm not practicing what I would like to do, but I'm doing the very thing I hate. But if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good. So now, no longer am I the one doing it, but the sin which dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the willing is present in me. I have the willpower. I want to do it. The willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I want, I do not do. But I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I am doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. Let me fill you in on a little truth. If the Apostle Paul couldn't do it in his own willpower, I guarantee you we can't either. Just saying, I'm going to accomplish this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to stick to this. I'm going to change. I'm going to be transformed. I'm going to fail every time. Because I don't have the power to do it. I don't have the strength to do it. I have to yield my will and surrender my will to God. Because it's the Holy Spirit that's going to give me the willpower. It's the Holy Spirit who's also going to give me the won't power. So I won't do the things that I shouldn't do. It's the Holy Spirit who's working in me that helps me to say no to those things. To helps me to do the things that God has called me to do. And we surrender our wills to God. And this is an area, I'm going to be honest with you, I fail every single day. Because if I'm going to surrender my will to God, if I'm going to give God my will, that means I can only do that through disciplined prayer. It's daily saying, God, here I'm giving it to you. Not my will, but I want yours to be done. Not my will, but yours. In that daily, disciplined, surrendered prayer to God, we have to pray about everything. We have to give God everything. Most of us, and we've talked about this, most of us don't spend nearly enough time in prayer. And most of the time we do spend in prayer, we're praying for a list of people who are sick and dealing with this and dealing with this, and we're not even praying about surrender. We're not even praying about giving God up. All right, God, I give you this. I give you this. I give you this. This is my struggle every day. You know it, God. Give me victory 1 minute at a time. Give me victory today in this area. And surrendering and yielding to Him. To offer God our will. We have to allow the Holy Spirit through the Word of God to conform our will to God's will. All of these things are connected. I have to be a child of God. I have to yield my body to Him. I have to have my mind transformed by the Word of God so that I can surrender my will to God and conform to His will. I told you I was going to use MacArthur quite a bit. I want to quote, read one of the paragraphs from his commentary. It says, the Greek construction makes, and the phrase, that you may prove, a purpose-result phrase. That is to say, when a believer's mind is transformed, their thinking ability, moral reasoning, and spiritual understanding are able to properly assess everything and to accept only what conforms to the will of God. Our lives can prove what the will of God is only by doing those things that are good and acceptable and perfect to Him. Our wills should desire only what God desires and lead us to do only what He wants us to do in the way He wants us to do it, according to His will and by His power. Our imperfect wills must always be subject to His perfect will. It's only as we put these things into practice that God has called us to do that we're going to be changed, that we're going to be what God wants us to be, and we're going to honor and glorify Him in our lives. A transformed mind is going to produce a transformed will. And then we get excited about and desirous of and eager to do the things that the Spirit leads us to do, the things that God calls us to do, those things that bring Him glory. And so we lay down our own plans and we trust Him with our bodies, with our minds, with our wills, no matter what the cost. We're going to give ourselves to Him because we know He's not going to lead us astray, because we know He's not going to lead us into something that's going to cause us harm. And the more I yield to Him, the more I'm going to see God's purpose for my life. I can't tell you how many times in 25 years in ministry, people have come in to my office and said, "Pastor, how do I know what God's will is?" And then the first thing I asked them is, "How much time are you spending in the Word of God?" "Well, I go to church on Sunday and maybe once a week." "Then come back after you've started reading God's Word purposefully every day, and I guarantee you'll be able to tell me what God's will is. Because God's going to show it to you. God's going to reveal it to you as you spend time in the Word of God, as we yield to Him, as we trust Him. And then our minds are going to be transformed. Our wills are going to be transformed. We're going to be doing what God calls us to do. We're going to be putting Romans 12, 1 and 2 into practice. And this, as we said, does not come naturally. It doesn't come easy. Every one of us would say, "Yes, I want to do what pleases God. Yes, I want to do the things that bring God glory." But are we willing to do what God calls us to do? Are we willing to give Him our bodies? Are we willing to give Him our minds? Are we willing to give Him our wills so that we can be transformed, not conformed to the world, but be transformed and begin to look like Christ? That's what our title is. We're a Christian, a Christ one. We're to be a reflection of Christ. Is that what the world sees when they see us? That's what I picture Christ as. Talking like that, and acting like that, and living like that, and loving like that. You know, if that's the goal, it's only going to happen through this process of being transformed and trusting God. I want to read to you words that Warren Wiersbe wrote. He said, "For many years I've tried to begin each day by surrendering my body to the Lord. Then I spend time with His Word and let Him transform my mind and prepare my thinking for that new day. Then I pray, and I yield the plans of the day to Him and let Him work as He sees best. I especially pray about those things that upset or worry me, and He always sees me through. To have a right relationship with God, we must start the day by yielding to Him our bodies, minds, and wills." Again, if the Apostle Paul couldn't do it in his own strength, if a godly man like Warren Wiersbe can't do it in his own strength, we don't stand a chance. We can't do it in our own strength. We have to yield to the Holy Spirit's leading. We have to put God's Word into practice in our lives. You're not going to be transformed by picking up the latest and greatest self-help book. You're not going to be transformed by listening to a failed preacher preach. We're going to be transformed by obeying God and His Word. We're going to do what God calls us to do as we put God's Word into practice in our lives. Father, this is not easy. And this does not come naturally. And a lot of times our heart's desires just simply don't flesh out in everyday life because we don't yield to You. We don't trust You. We don't acknowledge You. Forgive us for those days that we fail You, when we give in to that sin nature and not obey Your Word and the Holy Spirit's leading. Forgive us when we don't spend that time in Your Word and spend that time cultivating that relationship with You. Forgive us when we don't spend that time in prayer, yielding our wills to You. Lord, I hope every one of us here this morning, it's our desire to be like Christ. It's our desire to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, by giving You our bodies, by giving You our wills and submitting them to You. Help us to live that out. Help us to desire to honor and glorify and lift up Your name. Lord, I'm thankful for Your truth, even when You give us things that aren't easy to do. Help us to be obedient. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.